When the big one happens, emergency planners and geologists expect the vast majority of us will survive. But a magnitude 9 rupture on the Cascadia earthquake fault will likely cut electricity, running water, and sewer for weeks or even months afterwards. So, you'll want to be ready to camp. Correspondent Tom Bonsi met an emergency preparedness evangelist for tips on how to camp inside your house.
Jim Buck is a former Republican state representative and retired structural engineer. He and his wife live near the edge of the continent, out past Port Angeles, past the no-stoplight hamlet of Joyce on Washington's Olympic Peninsula. Buck figures help will take a long time to reach his area after a major earthquake.
No matter how you skin it, you take a look at Indonesia, Japan, Katrina, Hurricane Sandy, the rest of them, it takes you a week to figure out that you got punched in the mouth really, really bad. Then it takes another week to get the stuff together to bring to make you feel better, and then it takes a week to unload it.
So Buck thought it over and recognized the best place to hunker down may be at home, provided it's habitable. Then he researched a how-to presentation to share with his neighbors, now titled Camping in Your House. The talk has turned into a high-demand hit. He says he's given the talk about 50 times over the past 2 years.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for all your volunteering.
Around 50 people gather in a church basement in Port Angeles for a presentation sponsored by the local interfaith community. Buck briskly runs through his indoor camping and survival tips. First, you may need to patch damage to your dwelling and remove hazards that could fall during aftershocks. Good items to add to your emergency kit include duct tape, plastic snap ties, and a blue tarp.
Blue tarps are the national flag of Joyce. We fly them proudly.
If the big one happens in our cold season, he suggests pitching a tent inside to provide a warmer space to rest. You'll also want some means to purify water and plan on some sanitary way to collect and dispose your poop. Buck's wife Donna often chimes in next with tips about foods that are easy to heat on a camp stove or backyard campfire.
And we have a sheet that says, "Survive Cascadia on $1 a meal."
Similar advice is propagating through volunteer neighborhood preparedness teams down the Washington and Oregon coasts. They all share the prospect of being isolated by collapsed bridges and landslides for a long time after a Cascadia megaquake. Buck says you probably have most of what you need already and don't need to go out and spend a whole bunch of money.
If you think about it, you have done this every time there's been a power failure for your entire life. It's nothing new. If you put some forethought into it, you can greatly improve your post-Cascadia camping experience.
People in the audience I chatted with had good attitudes about getting ready for that experience. Barbara Mitchell moved to the Northwest from the Midwest nearly 8 years ago.
And when I first heard about the Cascadia subduction zone, it was terrifying. Right? It's just like, oh my God, I'm moving out of the area. I'm not going to do this.
But Mitchell says she's come around to living with the risk.
One of the comforting things for me was to hear top level from FEMA down what the plan is. You know, this is how long it's going to take. This is what you need to be prepared for. This is what we're going to do. We're going to, you know, start at the airport and build out.
Charles Mawson from SQIM says he's buying emergency supplies a little at a time, and it's manageable.
You can panic and want to run away, or you can just do it in small steps, and I think everybody can do it.
These folks are prepping for 30 days on their own. For people in the I-5 corridor, emergency planners recommend to prepare to be self-sufficient for 2 weeks. I'm Tom Bonsi in Port Angeles, Washington.